We're now entering into Parshat Ki Tavo. Very exciting Parsha. I think the beginning of the Parsha is somewhat deceptive in how simple it seems or how low-key it seems, and it was very exciting over the last few days to prepare the first year on the first half of the Parsha and to see, even though I gave over something similar to this in Shir Kali earlier this year, the advantage that we have in learning the narrative of all of Sefer Devarim and to walking into Parshat Ki Tavo with all of Sefer Devarim behind us, I think will be, certainly was a different experience for me, and I think will be a different experience for us. Let's get into things. Starting with the name of the Parsha itself. Parshat Ki Tavo. What's the first thing that jumps out? I believe we even mentioned it at the end of our discussions of the last Parsha. What immediately jumps up, comes to mind when thinking about Parshat Ki Tavo as the name of the Parsha coming after the previous Parsha? Let's get moving. We got a lot to get into today. Mine's got to be sharp. What? More specific. We're always very specific in the way that we think, in the way that we talk, in the way that we examine our sources. The name of the parsha we're studying is called Ki Tavo, coming right after Ki Teitse. Does that strike anyone? It's very interesting. There's clearly a dichotomy there. The sense of Ki Teitse being about going out, and then coming around in Parshat Ki Tavo to come back in. Even just with the name itself, what can we then suspect about these parshiot as a whole, based on just thinking about the names of Ki Teitse and Ki Tavo? There's more over there. Parshat Ki Teitse, the word Teitse, Latzeit, means to leave, to go out. It means to leave your place of rest. And the reason why, we talked about this last time, we talked about this in the context of Parshat Ki Teitse, that when you go out, it means that you're going out to accomplish something. Your place of rest is your home. That's your makom, that's your space. And a person only leaves the safety and security of that place in order to go out for the purpose of accomplishing something, with the goal of accomplishing something. There's something that you need to take care of that makes you leave the confines and the safety and the rest of your home to go and accomplish that thing. And in the context of Ki Teitse, it's as dramatic as can be. What is the content of the opening of Ki Teitse? Ki Teitse l'milchama. You're literally going out to fight a war. That's what you're going to accomplish. And all of Parshat Ki Teitse, as we discuss in the context of that Parsha, is about overcoming those challenges, both externally, Ki Teitse l'milchama, internally, and already starting off with the issue of Eshet Yifat Torah and going on to the most intimate details of everyday life. But we're going out to accomplish. When we leave our house in the morning, we're going out, whether we're going out to school, we're going out to work, we're going out to accomplish something in the world. We're leaving our place in order to go to accomplish something on the outside. Therefore, the contrasting background of that, it's Parsha, Ki Tavo. Ki Tavo is like coming back home. Every day after we go out and we accomplish what we need to accomplish, then we come home in the evening. We come back to our place. The concept of Ki Tavo, of coming back, of coming to that place of rest, means to achieve a certain level of shlemut. I've accomplished everything, I've done it. And now I can come back to that place of rest. Going out can be very frightening. We go out to accomplish something, to achieve something. We go out on a journey that's going to take us far out before we can come back. The road is always a very dangerous place. We've talked about this in the context of other shiurim. That when you go out, you're going on a derech. And so challenging, so prone to difficulty and disaster, is the derech that Chazal instituted, the Anshei Knesset Olam instituted a tefilat ha-derech. We don't have a tefilat ha-bayit. There's the cute birkat ha-bayit that you can put on your house. It's not a bracha. When you come home in the evening, you don't say bracha. You don't have a bracha on coming and being in your home. But there's such an innate and understood level of challenge and difficulty and danger of the derech itself, of going out to accomplish something, of being away from one's home, of being on that journey, that the derech necessitates a bracha. It gives rise to a bracha to ask to turn to a Kadosh Baruch Hu to make sure that I'm safely taken care of over the course of my way. Because the derech is a dangerous place. And that's part of who we are as a people. As a people, we're always on the road. What's the term that we use? What's the English term that's always used?
Wandering.
The wandering Jew. Constantly wandering from place to place to place. And there's a certain truth in that. That means that we're always meant to be out accomplishing something. Since we're not home, since we're on that derech, the only reason we go out to a derech is to accomplish. And if we're the wandering Jew going from place to place, there are things that we are meant to accomplish personally and nationally in this world. That's why we're here. But that also means that we're in a constant state of danger because of it. It's why we have so much bloodshed of the Jewish people over the course of our history. The road is a very fragile time. And it's something that we experience as a people, and each one individually as well. And again, Ki Tavo, our parasha, Ki Tavo is that next stage. Now you've accomplished anything. Now, and we're taking it to its extreme, it's Parshat Ki Tavo. Now we've resolved all issues. In the context of Parshat Ki Tavo, we've taken care of all wars, both external and internal. Everything that we have set out to accomplish has been achieved. Comes along Parshat Ki Tavo. And now we can finally come to a place of rest. The implications for Sefer Devarim, and it's emotional to even say it, is that we're coming to the wrapping up of the wrapping up. In what way? We're going to start from this parasha on, reaching all the way back to the beginning of our Sefer, to the themes that we started to develop all the way from the beginning of February, from the seeds that we planted in the very first parasha. And as we talked about, that Devarim is the wrapping up Sefer of Chumash. But this is the beginning of the wrapping up of the wrapping up. Parshat Ki Tavo is the beginning of the wrapping up of Sefer Devarim, which is the wrapping up Sefer of Chumash. Ki Tavo, we're finally coming to a place of rest and we're transitioning into the conclusion of Torah itself. The place of rest where the Torah is meant to bring us to that sense that we've accomplished everything we set out to accomplish. On a Devarim level, on a Torah level, what does it mean to then come to the conclusion of that journey? The issues have been dealt with already, wars have been fought and won, and now at last, we seem to have achieved some level of shleimut. In light of that introduction to our parsha, in what way does our parsha actually begin? Not just the words Ki Tavo. What's the content of the opening of the parsha of Ki Tavo? What's the context of that? Bikurim. The whole opening paragraph deals with the issue of Bikurim. And that begs the question. Why Bikurim? What does that have to do with this overall theme of Ki Tavo that we talked about? What does it do with the wrapping up of a coming to a place of rest? Why does this start off the entirety of the parsha? Of all things, that when I go and I have my fruit trees begin to produce and to bring the first of the crop forward and bring it. What does that have to do with anything? But of all of these grandiose themes that we just described, of the concept of coming to a place of rest, all of the wars are done, all of it is done, we finally come to a reality of rest. We come to some sort of culmination. Why does that culminate in Bikurim? Again, seems on the surface to be very anticlimactic, especially on the contrast of the second half of the parsha, which we'll talk about next time, which is a tochacha. That's what most people focus on. Most people don't even realize the Ki Tavo has anything else in it other than the Tochacha. That's the fanfare. Bikurim? Why Bikurim? And Chazal seem to link into this as well. If you take a look, and a source on your source sheet, we have different source sheets. If you take a look at source number one, that makes sense. If you take a look at source number one on your source sheets, the Medrash in Bereishit Rabbah says, Rav Funa b'shem Rav Matne, b'schut gimel dvarim nivra ha'olam, that it was because of three things that the world was created. B'schut chala, the mitzvah of taking chala, Uma'asrot u'bikurim. One of the reasons, say Chazal, for the purpose of the creation of the world itself, one of the causes of creation, was bikurim. Understood from the first pasuk of the Torah. Bireshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim ve'et ha-aretz. As Rashi brings out in the context of other things that are referred to as Reshit in the second Rashi on Chumash, he understands Bireshit, he understands Chazal's meaning in Bireshit as Bishvil Reshit. God created the Shemaim and the Aretz Bishvil Reshit, because of Reshit, that which is referred to as Reshit. And in that Rashi, he quotes different sources in Chazal that call Yisrael Reshit, call Torah Reshit. But this Midrash identifies three different things as Reshit, and one of them is Bikurim. That since Bikurim in the end of the underline is referred to as Reshit Bikurei Admatecha, so Bishvil, the Reshit of Bikurim, did God create the world. Now, if you think about it for a moment, that fits thematically with what we're saying. Because how did we just define Parshat Ki Tavo? We said Ki Tavo is the...
The beginning of the winding.
The wrapping up of the wrapping up. It was 100% close enough. The wrapping up of the wrapping up. And based on this Ma'amar Chazal, using a quote that we use all the time but haven't used so frequently this semester, from Lecha Dodi. I was waiting for you to call it out, yeah. Sof Ma'aseh B'machshavat Chila. That which is last in thought, is it last in deed, is first in thought. So Bikurim was evidently one of the goals of creation itself, say Chazal. And so where does it manifest in Torah? All the way at the end, when we seem to have achieved that goal, which is when I saw the source inside and thought about it in that way, it's very powerful when you realize that Bikurim manifests in the conclusion section of Sefer Devarim, of Torah itself, in a way of Sof Ma'aseh V'Machshavat Chila. But it only emphasizes the question of all mitzvot, Bikurim. There were so many choices. What's so powerful about the mitzvah of Bikurim? So let's start getting into what Bikurim is about. It's verse number 2 on your sheets. I prefer, since you have Chumashim, those of you have Chumashim, to look inside the labyrinth in your Chumashim themselves. The beginning of the parasha. And Moshe still got a few weeks left. Okay. Parsha Ki Tavo, Perek Chavav Pasuk Aleph. V'haya Ki Tavo El Haaretz, Asher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lecha Nachala V'yishta V'yashav Taba. Will be when you enter the land that Hashem your God gives you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it. V'lakachta Mireshit Kol Pri Ha'adama, Asher Tavi Mi'artzecha Asher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lach V'samta Vatena V'halachta El Makom Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha L'shaken Shmo Sham. That you shall take the first of every fruit of the ground that you bring in from the land that Hashem your God gives you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that Hashem your God will choose to make his name rest there. Uvata la kohen asher yeba yimahem, and you're going to bring it to the kohen of that time. V'amartai lav, and you will say to him, Higaritzi ayom la Hashem elokecha kivati el haaretz asher nishpa Hashem el avoteinu latit lanu. And you shall say to him, I declare today to Hashem your God that I have come to the land that Hashem swore to our forefathers to give to us. And I think I underlined it on your sheets. Again, this re-emphasis on kivati, kitavo, of somehow having arrived again, being emphasized in the paragraph. And the Kohen will take the basket with those first fruits, and he will take it from your hand. And he will place it before the Mizbeach of Hashem. And then you're going to make, every single person who brings Bikurim, you're going to make this grand declaration. Here's the grand declaration that you're going to make. Arami oved aviv ayered mitzrayma, vayagar sham bimtei ma'at, vayisham legoy gadol atzum varav. An Armenian tried to destroy my forefather. He descended to Egypt and sojourned there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, strong, and numerous. And the Egyptians mistreated us and afflicted us and placed hard work upon us. Vanitzak el Hashem Elokei Avotenu, and we cried out to the God of our forefathers. Vayishmat kolenu vayaret onenu ve'et amalinu ve'et lachatzenu. We cried out to Hashem, the God of our forefathers, and Hashem heard our voice, saw our affliction, our travail, and our oppression. Vayotzeinu Hashem b'Mitzrayim b'yad chazakah v'yizron et yad. God took us out of Mitzrayim with a strong hand and an outstretched arm of a merah gadol. With tremendous signs and wonders. And he brought us again. He brought us to this place. And he gave us this land, a land flowing of milk and honey. What was the topic of this paragraph so far? I have no idea. Right? No, our history. What was it supposed to be about? Bikurim. And that's the next. But then finally we seem to come back to Bikurim. Pasuk Yud. V'ata, now that we've gone through everything in our entire history. V'ata. Hine heviti et reshit pri adama asher natata li Hashem. Now behold, I have brought the first fruit of the ground that you have given me, O Hashem. V'hinachto lifnei Hashem elokecha v'ishtachavita lifnei Hashem elokecha. And you shall lay it before Hashem your God, and you shall prostrate yourself before Hashem your God. V'samachta b'chol atov asher natan lecha Hashem elokecha ulebeitecha atav avlevi v'ager asher b'kirbecha. You shall rejoice with all the goodness that Hashem your God has given you and your household and you and the Levite and the proselyte who is in your midst. Very powerful paragraph. Also an unusual paragraph. Going through the totality of our history. Who is, by the way, and we'll get to this in a minute, you probably know this from somewhere else, having learned this somewhere else, who is Arami Oved Avi? Lava, it's like, obviously, right? Because we have context for it. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Arami Oved Avi is often understood as Lavan versus Yaakov. We're going all the way back to Yaakov. The struggles with Yaakov, the descent to Mitzrayim. The Exodus, getting to Eretz Yisrael so I could plant and then reap the first fruits and bring them here, and now here I am with my first fruits in Eretz Yisrael. Underneath the history lesson, underneath the Mishnah Torah aspect, if you will, this looking back and retelling of our history, what's really at the heart of this quote-unquote declaration? What are we really getting to? What's really at the heart of it?
Appreciation.
Excellent. Appreciation. In Hebrew? Hoda'ah or Hakarat HaTov. Hakarat HaTov. An appreciation for everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us. So clear is it as the underlying concept beneath the entirety of this declaration, as the two of you immediately jumped up and stated, that Rashi points it out based on Chazal. Rashi's quoted Chazal, actually. I didn't even put the Chazal on your page because Chazal, it's actually a little, it's just a quote of the same three words. Source number three, Rashi says, She'incha kafoi tova. The opposite of karata tov. Kafoi tov. To make sure that you don't have kafoi tov, which I don't think has a great English translation. Hakarat HaTov is a recognition of the good. Hakarat HaTov is, I think, appreciation may capture that. The best word that I can think of in English may be to be ungrateful. But I don't think fully captures just what Kafoi Tov is.
Negative?
Yes. It's the Kafoi Tov is the opposite of Hakarat HaTov. She'incha kafoi tov, so as not to be kafoi tov. It's interesting that the Ma'amar Chazal frames it in the negative and doesn't say she'tzarich lahakira tatov, but that being as it may, the idea is that here that there's this underlying concept of hakarat tov, a necessity of hakarat tov, and that's the bottom line of what Bikurim is really about. Now that it's all about this hakarat tov. Now, prove to me that in Chumash, in all of Chumash, somehow, and we still have to develop it, that somehow this paragraph of all paragraphs in Chumash epitomizes thankfulness, gratitude, hakarat hatov. Where does this paragraph manifest that you all immediately had an understanding of some aspects of it? The Haggadah. This paragraph becomes the foundation of Seder night. The one time of year where the single mitzvah that underlies the entire night, and we've spoken about this in the past, unsurprisingly, in Sefer Devarim, and we're going to link it all together. The one time of year where the single mitzvah that underlies the entire night is to turn to Hashem and to say thank you. Is to go through all of Magid, to get to Shulchan Aruch, to get to Magid. No, we did that. To get to Magid, to get to Halel, to get to Nirtza. We're just praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu all night long. That's the whole goal of Seder night. On Seder night, a person should be involved in nothing other than Hakarat HaTov. All of Seder night is that it's all one night of gratitude. And therefore, somehow again, innately relating to this concept, it's predicated on this paragraph. This paragraph in Chumash is the heart of the Haggadah, is darshaning these psukim. The Rambam states this explicitly. Source number 4, the Rambam, Hilchot Chametz Matzah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalet. V'tzarik lahatchil b'gnutu l'sayim b'shevach. That we need to finish off the Haggadah, we need to get to a place where we're being mishabeach, we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Second part of the other line, v'chein matchil u'modia sh'avadim ayinu l'farok mitzrayim. V'chol ra'a sh'gmalanu u'misayim b'nisi v'niflaot sh'naseh lanu u'v'cheirutenu. That this is all building up to praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what He did for us and for bringing us out. V'hu she'idrosh, and this is why we read, Me arami oved avi ad she'igmor kol ha'parasha, until the end of the paragraph of Bikurim. V'chol ha'mosif ma'arich bidrash parasha zo, harei zeh meshubach. Anybody who spends more time darshaning these paragraphs, perhaps the singular reason why of all of the Haggadah, that's the part of the Haggadah that we say so quickly and don't pay attention to. This is supposed to be the Haggadah. This is supposed to be where the emphasis is. This is supposed to be the Haggadah Talabincha. Whether it be the external bin or bat that a person has, or speaking to the internal child in, this is the part we're supposed to be reflecting on everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did from us. But we take this declaration, and we go pasuk by pasuk, we lay out the pasuk, and then we break it down, and each piece of the pasuk, we extrapolate out, and we talk about that so much of the bulk of the Haggadah. To the point where the Rambam himself says, because it's bringing out the Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As these Pesukim are Pesukim of Hakarat HaTov. Parashat Ki Tavo is saying that when everything has been accomplished and you have reached, is the reality of when everything has been accomplished and if we've reached our completion. After all the confrontation, the point is that we should reach a place of gratitude. We're going to call back to a Ramban that we've quoted quite a few times as well. And again, very much in a Mishnah Torah way. See it with fresh eyes. See it in a fresh context. It's very possible this is the most famous Ramban in all of Ramban and Chumash. It is genuinely possible. It's the last Ramban in Parshat Bo. That's why we quoted it so many times. In these Shirim, I'm sure you've heard it quoted in other Shirim. If you haven't, then you will. Incredibly powerful Ramban. It's a lot longer. These are just the last few paragraphs. I recommend seeing the whole thing inside because it's beautiful Ramban about tefillin. But then when it's finished talking about tefillin, the last three paragraphs, we're not going to read all of it here, address a significant topic, one of the most fundamental concepts in all of Judaism. The Ramban asks the question, why are so many mitzvot zecher liyitziat mitzrayim? Source number 5 on your sheets. V'chein kol kayotze bahen mitzvot rabot zecher liyitziat mitzrayim. Why are all these mitzvot zecher liyitziat mitzrayim? Next paragraph, a line before the underline. V'lefichach amru havei ze'ir b'mitzvah kala kechamura shekulan chamudot v'chavivot mod. Every mitzvah is precious. Shebekol sha'ah adam modeh bahen le'elokav. Because every time we do a mitzvah, and since so many mitzvot are zecher liyitziat mitzrayim, through doing the mitzvah, we're giving hoda'ah, we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Powerful lines. The kavanat kol hamitzvot. The intention of all of the mitzvot shin amin ve'elokenu, that we should be faithful to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'node'elav, and to admit to Him and give thanks to Him. Shehu bera'anu, that He created us. V'hi kavanat ha'yitzira, that's the goal of all of creation. He's not messing around here. Says the Ramban, one of the greatest thinkers in all of Jewish history, this is the goal of creation. She'ein lanu tam acher b'yitzira shana, lest you thought that he wasn't being clear enough, that there's no other purpose in creation. Ve'ein el elyon chafetz patachtonim milvad she'ida ha'adam v'yodeh l'ilkav she'bera'o. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no desire in this world, in this lowly world, except that man should know and give thanks to God for creating. Give thanks to God for everything He does for us. Give thanks to God for our existence. V'kavanat romemut hakol batfila, and the intention of drawing up all of our voices in davening. V'kavanat batei knesiot uzchut tfilat harabim, and the intent behind creating batei knesiot and of having tefillah in large groups. Zeu sheyeh libnei adam makom, that there should be a place. Sheyitkabsu v'yodu lekel shebera'am, that we should be able to come together as one and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu shebera'am v'imsi'am, that He created us. And say, we are your creations. That's what the world was created for. The Ramban is defining for us the reason for creation. That we should recognize God, that He's there, understand inherently, it's implicit in His words, the kindness that God has done to us, for us in that, and to say thank you, to verbalize, to live through every mitzvah, through every action, through every tefillah, to live a reality of hoda'ah, to stand up to our name and to be Yehudim. It's who we are, it's part of our very identity. Source number 6, beautiful pasuk from Yeshayahu, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Am zu yatzarti li, this nation, the Jewish people, that I create for me. What defines them as being my people? What's the definition of Klal Yisrael? Tehilati yisaperu, they say my praises. That's the definition of what it means to be the Jewish people. That's all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from creation, is a recognition of the goodness of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in creating us, and giving hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that. Parshat Ki Tavo is the beginning of the wrapping up of the wrapping up. We've dealt with everything, we've taken care of everything, and now that everything has been done and everything has been accomplished, where is the place that we're meant to come to? Is to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, thank you. That's the end. That's the goal. That's the Ki Tavo. That's the place of having arrived. It's coming to a place. It's coming to a place of saying that everything that happened in my life was worth it. That everything that I went out to do was worth it. And that everything that I experienced on that way was worth it. All of the hardships, all of the difficulties, all of the challenges. When I was out there in my Ki Teitzeh, all of the times where I might have had struggle and difficulty and pain and hardship because it was difficult, and there were times where I wondered, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to me? Why am I going through this? Ki Tavo is that moment where I've resolved all of those issues and I'm able to come back, to finally come back home, to come to a place of rest, to a place of shleimut externally and internally, and give hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every step of the way. Hakarat HaTov. Let's define the word better. What does Hakarat HaTov mean? What is Hakarat? Mazel Hakir. To recognize. does it mean when you suddenly recognize something? What does that imply? That you didn't see it before. There's an implication in Hakarat HaTov. The implication of Hakarat HaTov is that there was a time where I wasn't Makir that Tov. It's not just Hoda'ah, it's Hakarat HaTov. I didn't see it as being good. That there were times in my life where it just seemed bad, difficult. There were things that happened that I was interpreting as bad, as arbitrary, as meaningless, as bitter, as suffering in my life, that I don't deserve this. That feeling that life isn't fair. All of that bitterness, whether it's verbalized or internal, is because we have not yet reached that stage. It's because we're not yet able to come to a full place of Hakarat HaTov. That helps put this paragraph in context. Because where does this paragraph come chronologically? What happened in the previous paragraph in Chumash? Without dividing between parashot. Amalek. And what is Amalek about? It's all about those issues. Just like we talked about in the last shir in Parashat Ki Tetzeh. That the final resolution of all issues is having to come to terms with, having to overcome, having to defeat Amalek in every aspect of life. Let's reread through those psukim. You can see it in your Chumash in Chaf Hei Yud Zayin or in source number 9 on your sheets on the back. Zachor et asher asah lecha Amalek, remember what Amalek did to you. Where did he do it to you? What's the next word? Baderech. Amalek always attacks us on the derech, and it's emphasized twice in these psukim. Because the derech is where we're vulnerable. Because the derech is where we see that challenge and have that bitterness. Because the derech is where we haven't arrived at the destination yet and are able to look back and understand how every painful step got us to that destination. And so he actively always attacks us on the derech. From the first time in Parshat Bishalach, we were on our way to get to Matan Torah and to build the Mishkan, to on our way to Bayit Rishon in the fight with Shaul, to on our way to Bayit Sheni, in our fight with Haman Ha'agagi, before we build Bayit Sheni, and the final confrontation with Amalek that will be in the end of days where we build Bayit Shlishi, B'mehei Rabbi Ameinu. Taught you nothing. B'mehei Rabbi Ameinu. Thank you. That we're always fighting him on the derech. Because that's the nature of Amalek, that's where it manifests. Zachor et asher asah lecha Amalek baderech. And where did it start from? Betzeitchem mimitzrayim. Asher karcha baderech. And that word karcha is a word we've come back to so many times when talking about Amalek because it gets to the heart of what Amalek is. Rashi, source number 10, gives three understandings. Lashon mikra, that things are happenstance. There's no intrinsic meaning in the world. What God? It just happened. There's no hakara of anything. Shemina hakarat hatov. Lashon keri v'tum'ah. That there is no deep spiritual meaning in life. Maybe it's purposeful, but it's not spiritual. It's not godly. Lashon kor. Cooling us down on that road and not letting us reach that final destination. Amalek is all about challenging us on the way. On that road. Making us ask those deep questions. A manifestation, as we talked about in the last year, of Hayesh Hashem Bikirbenu Imayin, of that doubt, of that uncertainty that comes from going through challenge. When we go through challenges with water and man and all the challenges in the desert in Parshat Bishalach, to bring us to a place where we're not sure anymore, where we can't see is God really good or not. Because that's what we inevitably ask. That's where our Amalek gets us. That's where he brings us to. That reaches all the way back to our first shiurim in the opening paragraph of Sefer Devarim. That somehow, impossibly, despite the fact that the whole goal of Yitzhak Mitzrayim was to produce Hoda'ah, was to produce Hakarat HaTov, that was the goal, that was the purpose of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. That's why it is what we celebrate on Seder night, is Hakarat HaTov and Hoda'ah. And yet somehow, almost impossibly, B'nai Yisrael weren't able to see that at the time. They couldn't get there. And those were our opening Pesukim in Devarim, source number 7. Perek Aleph Pasuk Chav Vav. Pasuk we keep coming back to. V'tiragnu bo olechem v'tomru b'sinat Hashem otanu otzianu me'etzim eretz Mitzrayim, that we are able to get such a corrupted worldview, to have such a kafoy tov, to have such an ihakarat tov, that we were able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a God of hate, guiding us with hate toward a hateful end. Latit otanu biyad ha'emori lahashmidenu. That the goal of Yitzhak Mitzrayim is to bring us to our ultimate destruction. Every stage of that along the way being broken. That's the issue that we have to resolve. Kitavo only comes with the downfall of Amalek. Inside, overcoming that doubt, overcoming that question, overcoming that bitterness in a way to be able to see, yes, it was hard. But every step of the way is what got me to here, and because I'm here, I now am able to look back, and I can have a true hakarat hatov. I can now recognize everything as being for the tov, and look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say thank you for everything. Not most things, not some things, not the good times. Thank you for everything. That's Ki Tavo. That's this whole declaration. Go back to source number 1. Number 2. The opening of the parsha. Source number 2. That we go to the Kohen and we say, we give over this whole story. We're able to look back at our entire history, nationally, of which we played a part in that. Pasuk Hey, Vanita Vamartlik Nashem Elokecha, Aramio Viravi. I'm going all the way back to when we were first persecuted by Lavan, to going down to Mitzrayim. Pasuk Vav, Vayiru Otanu Amitzrim, they did terrible things to us. To the point, Pasuk Zion, we had to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when He took us out of Mitzrayim in Pasuk Chet. Biyar Chazakah, Vizroi Netzuyav, Merah Gadol, V'totum Mavtim. Why did He take us out? Vayivienu El HaMakom Hazeh, He brought us to this place. Ki Tavo, He brought us here now. Vayitein Lanu Et Ha'aretz Hazot, Eretz Zavat Chalav U'Dvash, and He brought us to this beautiful land. This is the fulfillment of the Mishnah Torah. I doesn't even frame it that way, but to me it's so clear. This is the fulfillment of the Mishnah Torah. Was to literally turn that pasuk on its head. To recognize that God took us out of Egypt because He loves us, because He heard us and He cared about us. And He saw the pain that we were going through. And that brought out in us places inside of ourselves that we never would have seen as a nation. And made us God's people. Till with miracles He took us out of Egypt and through the desert and brought us to this land. And gave us this fruit. And now I'm able to come forward and give hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything in our history till this very moment. I recognize, remember back to our original shirim, that God is a God of tov, who guides the world with tov, and brings us to a land of tov. Everything that we needed to reorient. We talked about how Chet HaMeraglim broke history, and the fixing of history comes in fixing the issues of Chet HaMeraglim. This is the end of history, is Bikurim. This is the end of history, is Ki Tavo. V'ata pasuk yud, hinei heveti et reshit pri ha'adama shenatata li Hashem. Now I'm able to bring the first fruits to Hashem. V'nachto lifnei Hashem Elokecha v'ishtachavit lifnei Hashem Elokecha. I'm able to bring the first fruits to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'samachta bechol hatov asher natan lecha Hashem, and you will be sameach in all of the good that God did for you. I have joy. We talked about this before when we talked about v'samachta bechagecha v'samchenu bishuatecha, of seeing things what they truly are, and that bringing us to a place of the deepest possible joy. V'samachta bechol hatov, because I see it all as tov. Because I've utterly eradicated every last bit of Amalek. That's why we're told. Source number 12. When Bilam, in his final vision, looks at the other nations, when he turns to Amalek and gives his vision of the future of Amalek, source number 12, Bamidbar, Perek Avdala Pasuk Chaf, Vayarat Amalek, Vayisama Shalov Yomar, he says about Amalek, Reshit Goyim Amalek, they're the first of the nations. They're the primary of the nations. They're the ones that are going to cause us the deepest problems. But Vaacharito Ade Oved, their end is total obliteration. Because if Amalek is that question, if Amalek is that uncertainty, if Amalek is that bitterness, if Amalek is that tum'ah that has no place in the world to come, and Amalek itself has no place, it's the only nation that has no place in the world to come. That's what we daven for in the Yom Noraim. We turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we daven and we say, V'chol harish'a kulak ashan tichlet, to destroy all evil from the land. A removal of Ra, to leave only the Tov and have a Hakara of that Tov. Why through Bikurim? What is it about Bikurim? The Mishnah in Masechet Bikurim, Perigimel Mishnah Aleph, source number 13, says, Ketzad mafrishina Bikurim, how do we set aside the Bikurim? It says, Yored ha'adam b'toch sadehu. A person goes down to their field, V'ro'et te'ina shebachra, eshkol shebiker, rimon shebiker. They see the first fruits finally come out. The first fig, the first grapes, the first pomegranate. Koshro bigomi. He runs and ties something around it to signify, to mark it. The Omer hare elu bikurim, these are my bikurim. What is it that's so impactful about bikurim? To run down to your field, you see the first one that comes out, you tie something around it, and you say, this is Bikurim. What's so unique about Bikurim? Because Bikurim reflects that every single year. It asks us that question of whether or not we have a Hakarat, a Tov, at every level that we need to have it. How did that fruit get produced? I'll tell you how it got produced. Use the example of vegetables, because it's more of an intensive process that I understand from the beginning of the year. I go out to my field at the beginning of the year, and I have to plow that field. I have to turn that earth. And then I go sweating and plant every single furrow that I've made in my field. And I cover it up, and I tend to it, and I dive in for rain. It better be a lot of rainfall this year. I need rain. And I wait, and I wait, and I stress out, and I get anxious, and I dive in, and I hope, and I tend, and I hope, and I hope, and what's going to happen? Because there's two choices. I live, or I die. I have food for my family, or I don't eat. I have something to sell, or I go poor. And after all of that work, and all of that anxiety, and everything that gets put into that, I walk down to my field that day, and you know what I see? After all that time, I see that first fruit. And because we're so distant from nature, we don't have this experience. But when we go down and see that first fruit, you want to run to that fruit. You want to take that off the vine. You want to pull it off the tree. You want to pull it out of the ground. And maybe, maybe you'll say a bracha. If there's enough time, from the time it gets from your hand to your mouth. But you want to sink your teeth and feel what it is to have achieved everything that you've set out to do. And were one to do that, it would be the biggest failure of Sefer Devarim possible. It would be the epitomization, if that's a word, it would be the epitomization of Kochi v'otzem yadi asali atachayel hazeh. Look at this handiwork that I have. I'm now reveling in what I've accomplished. Who gets left out of the picture? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's everything that this world is not about, and it's everything that Eretz Yisrael is not about. And there's no Hakarat HaTov. And so I run down with that same joy if I'm truly gotten to a place where I'm supposed to. If I'm living a reality of Ki Tavo, I run down to that field and I take that piece of gumi and I put it around the fruit and say, this is Bikurim. Everything that I've worked for, I'm giving back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave me this. Everything came from you. And everything difficult that you gave me, and every time it didn't rain, and I thought it was going to rain for the entire season. And every time my ox strayed off the path. And every time my plow broke. And I wasn't sure what was going to be. I now see how step by step, stage by stage, you were all getting me to this place where this new fruit would come out. And I turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, this is your Bikurim. And I dance it over to the Beis HaMikdash. And I come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I say basically, I'm basically saying, just like Bnei Yisrael went through hardships and got to a place where they were finally settled in their land, a conclusion where they could recognize everything was for the good. I look back at my whole life, at my whole year, and I say, you've brought me to this place. And the last line of the paragraph is, V'samachta b'chol hatov. Because when I come to a place of Hakarat HaTov, I come to a place of Simcha, because I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I see the goodness of God, the goodness in the way that He guides the world, the goodness of this land. That's when I've resolved everything and come to that conclusion. Does it sound on the surface unimpressive that that should be Bikurim? Of course it does. Because we're looking for fireworks. But what have we learned over all of Sefer Devarim? Where is God? Especially in Eretz Yisrael. Where is God?
In the everyday,
in the details. Finding the miraculous in the mundane. Finding the divine in the details. Literally however you want. But the goal is to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything, day in, day out, you're in and you're out. That's Eretz Yisrael. That's Eretz HaChaim. That's the goal of what we're all trying to accomplish. That's Ki Tavo. That's the opposite spectrum of Mitzrayim. When we finally arrive, we've left Mitzrayim, but now we've arrived where we're supposed to get to. On the total opposite of that, which is to arrive at Eretz Yisrael and to live what Eretz Yisrael is all about. When I was preparing the shiur, this Mizmor of Tehillim popped into my head and I couldn't get it out, and I hope that it's right, but I linked it to the shiur. I think it does emanate beautifully from the words of David HaMelech, and second of all, I think it's a great way to rethink about this paragraph in a beautiful way. When we say it, at least week in and week out. Shir HaMa'alot, which we say before we bench, on Shabbos, Yom Tov, when we don't say Tachanun, Shir HaMa'alot B'Shuv Hashem et Shivat Zion. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu returns us to Eretz Yisrael, what will we say? Hayinu Kecholmim. That everything was like a dream. Why was it like a dream? There were ups and downs. There was confusion. It was unclear. The whole thing was like this. This whole thing was a dream. Because now I see it with a totally different perspective. And at that point, Az Yimalei Schok Pinu L'Shoninu Rina, we're going to laugh and we're going to sing praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Az Yomer V'Goyim Higdil Hashem L'Asot Im Eile. Higdil Hashem L'Asot Imanu Hayinu Semeichim. We were full of joy. And then the last line, the last two lines. To me, this is what really rung out in my mind. Hazorim B'Dim'ah B'Rina Yiktsoru. Those who plant with tears, those are the ones who with joy are able to reap their successes. Jewish history is a history of tears. There's so much pain. There's so much persecution. So much exile. So much hardship. And the question is do we recognize, even while we're going through it, I don't know why yet, but I know that it'll be revealed that this is all for the good. And therefore, even in those times of darkness, am I able to dance through them or not? Am I able to smile through them or not? Am I able to wait for that moment of Bikurim or not? Because that's where we're meant to get to. That's what we're warned in this very self-same parasha. And with this, we'll conclude. In the second half of the parasha, we'll talk about more next time. We have the second of what are referred to as the tochachas. And in this tochacha, very oddly, seemingly, in the middle of the tochacha, we're given the reason for the tochacha. Source number 8, Perakhav Ket, Pasuk, Memzain, Sinir Chumashim, also towards the end of the parasha, that the reason why all of these klalot will come upon you, says the Torah. Memzain tachat asher lo avarata at Hashem Elokecha b'simcha uvetuv leivav mirov kol. That's why tochacha happens. That's why everything goes off the rails. That's a kitavo orientation. That's something we can only understand now. Is that when things, if we don't have simcha in life, if we don't see the tov in life, if we don't every single year walk up to a Kadosh Baruch Hu with simcha and joy at Beit HaMikdash, then things are going to go bad. Because we've missed the point. And on one level, the emphasis is on the simcha. And that's normally how we focus on them in Shirim. Shirim that you've heard from me and from others, I'm sure. That we don't serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu with simcha, that's what takes us off. But what's the simcha that we're supposed to have, which we were ready to discuss last time we quoted this pasuk? What's the content of the simcha? What's the end of the pasuk? That's not the end of the pasuk. Merov kol. A recognition that I have everything right now. I have everything that I could possibly need. Does it seem hard? Yeah. I'm having a tough time for sure. 100%. That's true. But the Torah challenges me to be simcha even in the hardest of times because I need to know in the depths of my being, merov kol, I have everything. I have everything that I could possibly need, and therefore I'm besimcha. And if I lose that simcha, and I lose that perspective, and my perspective goes off, I have chet ha-meraglim problems. And if I reorient my perspective, I'm living the Mishnah Torah. I'm living Sefer Devarim. And I'm on my way to achieve a reality of Bikurim. I'm on my way to reach a reality of Kitavo and to come to a place of rest, to resolve those internal issues, to be b'shalem with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, b'shlemut with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to thank Kadosh Baruch Hu for everything. Bezrat Hashem, we should be zocha to experience our own internal overcoming of all levels of Amalek, of Safek, of Doubt, of Kor, of Karcha Baderech, to overcome the challenges of the Derech that we're all on personally and nationally. Bezrat Hashem, to see the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash Mihira B'Yameinu. And in seeing the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, live up to what Beit HaMikdash is, to live up to what Eretz Yisrael is. To return to the land, not just returning to Eretz Yisrael, but to get our hands dirty like we used to. And to return to the land and to grow our fruit, the fruits of Eretz Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. So that, for the purpose of, not so we can have money and not so we can eat. So we can take that basket of fruit up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and have that experience of v'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha, of joy before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of knowing that we've gotten here together, that we've resolved all issues, and that we've come to a place of shlemut with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our land. We should see it speedily in our days. Amen.